And tonight, just a few thoughts, mining riches from God's Word. The first thing that we want to emphasize is to meditate and pray. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." One of the definitions of that Hebrew word, talking low under your breath. Kind of a mumbling it over as you're thinking about it. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Meditate that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the King James translators say, instead of good success, you could say, then you shall do wisely. Doing things God's way makes you do things wisely. That gives you the good success. Understanding what you're supposed to do is part of the process of meditation. So meditating is thinking about the importance of every main word in the verse. In some cases, even a small word is a main word. Why does it say in instead of on? Why does it say into instead of upon? Those can be very important. But generally, it's the larger words, the main words. And you think it over. You ask, what other word might I have thought would go there? Why did you say this and not that? So meditation is not only encouraged, but it is commanded in the Scripture. Look at these verses, Psalm 1:1-3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," or the wicked, "nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Thinking about how it's a progressive thing, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you end up standing in the way of sinners and then sitting in the seat of the scornful. We should have just kept on walking, stayed out of the counsel of the ungodly. But instead of that, "his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." This is literally the canals of water. These are man-made irrigation things that they're talking about here. So a tree planted by the irrigation canals. In other words, no lack of water. "That bringeth forth his fruit in, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither or fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." To Joshua he said, "You'll have good success." Here in the psalm, he says, "You will prosper." So it describes the benefits of meditation. This is dwelling on the Scripture, not just surface reading, but dwelling on it. And then Psalm 119, verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." The key in studying the Scripture is to ask God for understanding. Pray for understanding for meditation to be effective for us. Here is the infinite God giving us absolute truth, coded in human language. We are trying to break through normal language to see the unseeable, to grasp the ungraspable, the infinite. But we can just catch it. We can just get a hold of it. So learn this thing of meditation. We were talking before about memorizing. Memorizing delivers you from holding the book. You may now meditate wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when your conscious mind doesn't have to be making decisions. You know, you're traveling along in the car, you can meditate as long as it's not stop and go traffic and dangerous conditions, where you can relax your mind a little bit while you're traveling. Then memorization gives you the opportunity to meditate. You don't have to go into it to memorize it. If you just really study a verse and read it over and think it through, perhaps do some study about the words, it pretty much stays with you, and you can then think about it. So first of all, learn this thing of meditation to get to mine the riches of the Word of God. Secondly, read consecutively. Do not read haphazardly through the Bible. This is not a book of spells and charms where you just open it at random, put your finger down, read a verse, and say, yeah, that's my devotions for today, and then you close it up and go your way. He's giving us these things in story form. He's giving us these things in narration, and then in letters and preaching. So you need to follow the thinking. Read consecutively. New believers, young believers, I encourage them to begin with the Gospel according to John, because it's easy to understand, the language is easy to understand, and the focus is on Jesus as the Son of God. To begin there, and then read the book of Acts, which takes from Christ to the early church, and then go right on into Romans, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and so on. Because there you see the churches that he dealt with, and you saw them contacted in the book of Acts. After that, after you've finished reading much of the New Testament, go back and start at the Old Testament. Start right there in Genesis and get that great chronology. But once you understand, you've got the full, read all of the Gospels, make sure you get a full picture. The Gospels are all talking about Jesus, but it's like looking at a great gem, and then you turn it and you see different facets and you see different points of view and so on. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic meaning with the same viewpoint. And they talk about the same situations. John is very, very different. So read the full Gospel, all the Gospels, to get a full picture of the life of Christ, and then begin in the Old Testament and read all the way through. So get a handle on the consecutive things. Get an understanding of what happened first and then what happened later and so on. The history of it actually makes a connection, a pattern, an outline for you to connect all the things that he's telling you. And then finally, number three, be diligent and develop understanding. In the same way an oak grows slowly but strongly, so you must plan to grow slowly, step by step. You will not learn about God in a flash. It doesn't happen. It's not like a microwave oven thing. Weeds grow up overnight, but they fall quickly to any attack. You don't want to be a weed Christian. You want to be an oak. So learn diligence. Paul says, I beat my body under. He controlled what his body wanted, everything that your body and my body want. You know, kick back, eat some cookies, watch TV. He really loved TV, I think especially Andy Griffith. Paul was a big follower of that. But I was talking to a fellow today, and he said, my dad loved the Andy Griffith show. He said, I really liked Raven. that's so Raven or something like that. And the girl Raven, he says, now, he says, I follow her on Facebook. He says, she's going to college now. And so I thought, really? You followed that? He said, yeah, what as Andy Griffith was to my dad, the Raven show was to me. I only had heard about it and seen the young lady that played Raven. But Paul, whatever entertainment was in his day, his body wanted those things as well. But he beat his body under. He says, my body will do what I say. You see, I don't do what my body says. So learn diligence by reading the Bible every day and every week and every month and every year. You will find that with that diligence, your understanding grows deeper every time you read through the Bible. Now, one thing I didn't put down here, and I've done it enough to believe that it's a very helpful thing, is to pick one of the smaller books, one that's maybe no more than 6-7 chapters, and read through it at one sitting, and do that every day for a month. I started out with the book of James doing that. And you go through you set that as the goal, so that's what you're going to do. At the end of the first week, I was getting bored because I'd read it, and I already knew what it said, you know. The second week, I found I was just beginning to get insights that I hadn't got before. Third week, it was really opening up, and the fourth week, I'd almost decided to do it another month. One of the interesting things I found out is that when you read it through every day, what happens on the third and fourth day is that you begin to remember what you'd never remembered before, and that was how the end matches the beginning. Every time you read it before, it was a long time ago when you read the ending. Now you're starting the beginning again. See? But when you kind of put it into a circle and you're reading it like this, day by day by day, you remember the end while you're reading the beginning. You make links that way that you didn't do before. I highly recommend that. It's an easy way to become very familiar. Now you can take a book like Romans, but divide it up. Find a good, ask me or Brother Jeb, we'll get a hold of a good outline and break it up for you. And read that section every day for a month. And then the next month, go to the next section. You can get the same effect and do that. But I highly recommend that. It's a great opportunity to let your mind slowly but surely go in deeper. Also, another thing is find a passage, maybe a chapter, and dedicate yourself to memorizing the whole chapter. The action of memorizing causes you to go over it and over it and over it. I remember memorizing in the book of Proverbs and coming across the passage, and I realized the first time I read it, I had no idea what he was talking about. It didn't make any sense, something about a bird, and the bird isn't caught in a trap, and people of flattery are caught in the trap, and I don't know what he's talking about. After memorizing it, it came to me that basically what he was saying is, if a dumb bird sees you lay a trap, it doesn't go down and sit in the trap. It's smarter than that. But the person who falls for flattery sees the trap laid and steps right in it. Dumber than a bird. That was basically the meaning. And it's kind of an interesting thing, the insight you can get when you spend some time with it. Any other insights or comments on how to really enrich your quiet time with God and the Word of God. We're talking about prayer, talking about Bible study, really giving your heart to it.